Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus series Extraordinary, which it was, in fact, Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
In this episode, we'll be covering a little bit of what happened in season one and then season two, episode one, The Void, written by Emma Moran and directed by Toby McDonald.
So, it's back. Hell yeah. It is flipping back.
I can't believe it took them this long to come back because we knew that they were done filming before, you know, like in 2022.
Yeah, it's just bonkers. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Disney Plus is releasing all 8 episodes, or they released all 8 episodes of season 2 on March 6th, which was yesterday. We're going to cover them all 8 episodes, but we're going to do it week to week, which means we have to sit and wait around for us to podcast in order to watch the next one, which will be difficult. Just to avoid spoilers and whatnot. If you want to binge, go for it. We understand. I don't empathize, but I understand. And I will probably be irritated with you all, but moving on. We'll put up, Penny's actually already put up feedback episodes for all 8 episodes. So you can write or call in at any given point for any episode and, we'll include it. So yeah, it was nice to have it back, and it was nice to have another 30 minute fun show to watch. There's been a bunch of good TV that I've been watching, but then I had to get Hulu again in order to get Extraordinary, and then Archer is also on there. So
you can enjoy some Archer as well. And if you feel like it, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is also
Hulu. I didn't realize, I didn't know what it was on, but maybe I'll just toss one of those on. But I'm kind of a completionist, so I might have to start from the beginning, and that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, it is. You really can skip all of season one of Buffy, though.
I mean, should I watch the first episode? I mean, I watched the movie back from the 80s or early 90s. So, I mean, I guess I got a little bit of background.
You don't really need to see anything in season one. You can pick up in season two really quickly. Season one is just not as well written. What I would suggest is you start with season two. And then once you're in love with the characters, you're naturally going to want to go back and watch season one. And then it won't be as annoying to you because you'll know how much better it gets.
Gotcha. I will have to take that on board now that it is now easily available. All right. But anyway.
It's been great to have our chaotic quartet back in our lives. The 4 worst decision makers, apparently, on the planet. And their
really
crazy apartment and ridiculous wardrobes. I missed them so much.
it was nice revisiting this world. Even as bonkers color wise as it is, I just get into it and I just kind of start grinning. It's fun.
Yeah, it's not just colors either. There's so many patterns. And yep. Prints and contrasts and busyness that it almost becomes, I don't know, like a gentle, subtle background again, because there's so many prints, they blend together in a way.
Right.
I like it. There's a thing called, lately, dopamine decor, which is instead of decorating like, in all beige or, neutrals, because it's like makes your house sell better, it's to decorate with things that make you happy and colors that make you happy. And I have
Nice.
embraced this fully, and I have hot pink kitchen cabinets and bright teal colored sofa. And I feel like Jen and Carrie and I would get along real well.
Well, I feel like their apartment's like super beige and brown, but there's a ton of patterns throughout it.
Yeah.
I didn't see, I didn't notice like bright colors. I noticed,
There's a lot of floral patterns, and
it
Jen
looks
has
like
pink walls.
a 1970s, parent family home,
Yeah,
with
a little bit.
the crazy shag and the ridiculous old Frigidaires that were the old beige boxes. I mean, anyway. All right.
Anyway.
So getting back, so we'll just do a quick summary of season one. So Jen and Carrie, they're college friends.
Oh, I think they're
They were
actually
high school. Yeah, they were high school
high
friends,
school
excuse me,
friends.
living together in London with Carrie's boyfriend Cash in an alternate version of our world where everybody gets a superpower when they turn 18 or thereabouts. This business has been going on for about 10 years. I think that's what we figured out last year. Or, yeah, whenever we covered last season. And even though she's 25, Jen still doesn't have a power yet. So of course she feels very left out of the mainstream. Meanwhile, Carrie and Cash are not on the same page. Like they're just so completely different. And I think that the point was that they've been together for so long that they just don't know how to not be with one another. Carrie is the only of one of the three that has a semi-steady job. I guess Jen has a job, but she works in retail at a party store, and it's, I don't know, it's not super lucrative. But Carrie's been using her power to channel dead people, and Cash with some, we'll just say some timely interference, decides to be a vigilante.
So Jennifer takes in a stray cat who the trio of roommates end up naming Jizz Lord. And you should watch season one to find out why, because it's worth it. Jizz Lord is actually a shapeshifter who is a man who can turn into a cat, but he's been stuck in cat form for several years. And when he turns into a man at Jen and Carrie and Cash's apartment, he doesn't remember who he was before. So he ends up living with the roommates and becoming friends with all of them. They have various hijinks and adventures over the course of season one as Jen tries to find her power and Carrie increasingly outgrows Cash. And in the season finale, Cash, in a desperate attempt to save his relationship, throws a surprise party for Carrie and repeatedly uses his time power to undo Carrie breaking up with him. It's not until the end of the party, when Cash has been awake for 28 hours, that Carrie finally manages to break through to him and break up, and Cash accepts it. And then Jizz Lord and Jennifer have some drama and end up becoming a couple, and they go to bed together after the party, wake up with Carrie there with them in the bed, because of course she's not sleeping with Cash anymore. And the next day, they're all so happy about this new relationship. And Jizz Lord runs to the store to pick up pancake ingredients because they're like excited to have breakfast together as a young couple. And he runs into a young woman and her son at the store. And the little boy points to Jizz Lord and says, "Mommy, that man looks like Daddy." And that is the cliffhanger that we have been waiting to resolve for months and months and months and months.
It's been like that cliffhanger was so frustrating. It was something that you're like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And yet we got a little bit of a kind of resolve this episode, but then you basically left it at the very, like you're left at the end of this episode in the same place you are at the end of last season.
Yeah, just with Jen now also in the mix.
Yeah, so we figured we could go through and, do a quick top humiliation for each of us, some favorite standout moments. What do you got, Penny? So how about a humiliation?
So one of the most embarrassing moments, I think, was when Cash found himself in a moment of cowardice posted on YouTube. He was already humiliated by having, abandoned his vigilante gang, and he was already sad and depressed and in the bathtub when an unknowing Jizz showed him the video and said, "That looks like you." And
that was pretty bad. I have to say that the voicemail to Luke playing for the entire family in the car.
Oh God, after, that was awful.
"You've got such a pretty cock." Oh my God. I mean, just the look on the entire family's face was awesome.
Oh my God. And then when the mother was like, "Even I know you should send him a dirty picture."
Yeah. Yeah. What's the point of being able to control electronics if you don't know how to control electronics? All right. So how about one episode characters?
So it was really hard for me to pick one.
I happen to have two in mind. So whichever one you pick, I've got a backup.
I'm going to go with the vet. He was so sad. His life was so sad with all those animals that he could hear talking to him who were saying things like, "Kill me now," and "Are you going to take my balls?" and "Why did my family leave me?"
Ugh,
And then he just completely spiraled out of control when they went to the strip club.
When he got kicked out of the strip club, that was hysterical.
It was an epic spiral. From the top to the bottom in moments. He spent all of his LASIK money on strippers. Like, oh my God.
I mean, but you have to imagine that that was his one night ever that he was letting loose. And I mean, like his line of, "Do you know what king, either of you know what king shit is?" I mean, like,
yeah.
It's just so funny. that whole, was it Tito? Was that what the dog's name was?
Yeah, I think so.
It was, and then the end of it, it's like, "Oh, I'll take him back to the surgery center."
Yeah.
Because Tito got run over.
Because he wanted to run free like a wolf.
Yeah.
But he was this like little Pomeranian thing. And oh my God, it was a great episode all around.
It was, I mean, it might have been my favorite of the first season. But I will say my one episode character was the dentist from Melody Dentist.
Oh, okay. So yours Melody was the Dental. Dentist.
Yeah. I mean, well, to be fair, the vet was probably my number one. But my backup was the dentist, because you talk about humiliations, like when Jen starts to, when you start hearing the porn music as she's touching her teeth, like, first, like, okay, you can kind of understand, like, people are terrified of the dentist and whatever, and so it's all very suspenseful and thriller type music. But when she starts complimenting Jen, and she's like moving her fingers around in her mouth, and then you start to get the porn music, oh my God, like, it could be a humiliation and a great one episode character. I mean, she was only in it for maybe 4 minutes. And
yeah,
she was great. Like, that whole thing was so well written.
The power that she has to make people generate their own soundtrack around her has unlimited comic potential. There are so many ways that could be just hilarious for so many people.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, really good.
My second choice was actually the cat show lady.
Cat show lady was good.
Yeah. When Jen and Gislord first get there, and the other cat show guy is like, Donna.
Fuck yes.
It's Hercule. She's like, oh, fuck yes. Like, she's so excited. And then later when she's like having that disagreement with Jen, and she like knocks a water bottle off a shelf like she's a cat. And oh my God, I just thought she was
tapping
hilarious.
It. Tap, yeah. Tap, tap, tap. Oops. That was really good.
I hope we get to see her again. She was great.
Yeah, like I don't know how you'd see, how we would, but all right, how about locations? Like some non the apartment or the party store or I guess the law firm.
I'm gonna have to go cat show.
Cat show's good, and we've talked about the strip club. King shit was pretty sweet, but
Yeah.
I think my favorite was actually the funeral.
Oh, the
Just
funeral was so
yeah,
good.
like just at the that at David's house, or I think it was his house, and
Yeah, all the trophies
yeah, the
and the photos in the matching costumes.
best rump prizes
Oh,
and.
blue ribbons everywhere.
Yeah, it was really good.
So many photos of
Like a yeah.
Hercule and
Yeah.
David.
As I continue thinking about it, I'm like, "Oh wait, what about this place?" No, the funeral was probably my favorite, especially the interactions with Tito when they were got there or when they were there. That was good stuff. All right. So, I know you are a big clothing person. So how, I mean, this show is so full of ridiculousness in the fashion. You have a favorite or standout outfit?
There are so many outfits that are beyond ridiculous. Like at the vet, when Jizz Lord is wearing this like circus tent
Yeah, it's like a
striped.
clown outfit or something.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
No explanation, just clown outfit.
Just
Maybe Jen got it from her store. I don't remember, but.
it's wild. But I think the outfit with the most comic potential is when Jen wears the Margaret Thatcher costume when she's pretending to be Carrie's agent.
That was pretty good. Yeah, that was pretty good. I would say that it's not even my favorite. It was just the one that made me go, "What the fuck is happening? What is she wearing?" Was in the high school where Jen is like, I swear to God, she's wearing pants up around like well above her belly button, and it makes them into high waters, so they're like above her ankles. And I was just like, what is this? Is this
Yeah.
just thrift store? And then you're like, oh, well, hey, what if I just my waist is here today. Now my waist is here. Oh, with these pants, my waist is here.
I mean, high-waisted pants are coming back into fashion lately for women, but those were beyond just high-waisted. They were practically under her boobs. So it's like an empire waist or something. I don't know. Jen's fashion sense seems to be more is more. And it's like patterns, colors, but also the individual pieces are often structurally weird. You know that
Right.
scene where she runs into Luke at the store and she's like drinking the milk because she was eating spicy
Yes.
food? She's wearing this like sweater that really did look like a clown outfit. Even though the sweater is black and red, the structure of it with these like big exaggerated sleeves and a high collar makes it look like a clown outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just I don't get it. And
I
that's
enjoy
okay.
it.
Yeah,
I
I mean,
don't get
like
it, but
it's
I enjoy it.
I will say that another runner-up for me as far as one episode characters was the high school bully that
Oh,
then
yeah.
sits with Carrie and tries to be nice for a
Gives her her
while.
jumper and Carrie gives her her jumper.
Yeah, and then she said, "That's the ugliest fucking jumper I've ever seen." It's your jumper. It's good stuff. All right, so and I'm gonna. I think we should keep it to three because there are a plethora of amazing lines in this.
Yeah,
But
true. We could quote all night.
yeah, absolutely. How about you hit me with your first one?
All right. It's not necessarily a funny one, but it's when King Charles says, "Just because something is well worn does not mean it is well fitting."
That's, I mean,
That.
it defined the characteristic or the defined the relationship between Cash and Carrie.
So beautifully. And it applies to so many different areas of life. I feel like it's a line of true wisdom, you know, smack in the middle of this absurd television show. I love it.
Yeah. I'll take one of my easy ones. And I don't remember what if the colors are right, but blue lid, thick milk, green lid, thin milk, red lid, devil's water. Just like I could just picture Luke Rawlinson, just devil's water.
Oh, his delivery is so fantastic in that moment. So funny.
Yeah.
Well, since we're on the topic of Jizz Lord or Luke Rolison, I'm gonna go with Good Boys Get the Brush.
That's such a good one. That's such a good
I
one.
say it to my cat every time I brush him. Every single time.
Rush, pure bliss.
And when he like starts brushing Cash and Cash is into it even though he doesn't want to be, and then he's like, stop brushing me. Like, it's, oh my God, it's such a funny scene.
Yeah. Like I want to not just keep doing Jizz Lord ones, but like you want to be friends with her. Well, yeah. She wants to be friends with you. I hope so. Maybe I'm confused on what simple means. I'm like, you know what? If you break it down, if you break so many situations down, especially interpersonal relationships, that's exactly, it's not that simple. Well, if you baldly state them, it really is.
Isn't it? Well, I have one from Cash, who often has great lines, and it is, I'm not depressed. I'm in the middle of a redemption arc.
Oh, you need a redemption arc. And let me just rant for a minute
About Cash.
about Cash. Let me just say, if we didn't say it enough in the first season of the podcasts, I have to emphatically state again, Cash in no way, shape, or form deserves Carrie at all, period. Like, at all. Done.
I will say that I understand how Cash and Carrie got to where they were. Because I bet when she first met him, they were both students, and he was fun, and he's cute, and he's into her. He thinks she's really sexy, and he's funny. All those things when he was 19 were enough. But they're now 25, and he's, as Jen puts it in one of the early episodes, a feckless loser. Like, he just hasn't ever moved past college Cash.
Right.
But I can understand what she sees in him. He is very charming when he's being charming and funny and cute. Like in this first episode, when he's dancing, he's adorable. But then you remember, like, he's just been living off of his girlfriend for apparently years.
Yeah. All right, so I'm for my last one, I'm gonna pick a gen one. You finger banged your girlfriend into the hospital.
I remember you liked that so much at the
I was laughing like I'm like as I started to remember it when I saw the girl on the crutches, I was like I started chuckling well before the line occurred. And I was just, oh my God, because it's such a sad scene and Jen takes such pleasure in it. And she revels in the misery. In Andy's misery, and oh man, but the wording there is just like it's something out of Fleabag.
The writing on this show is so precisely funny. The way that the individual sentences are crafted are always like the maximum way to get the feeling and humor out of every moment. I am really impressed with Emma Moran because she never wrote TV before this. This was like,
Right.
it was like Athena born whole cloth out of her head. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. No, I mean, like it's amazing. That amazing is the right word, period. It's so sharply written and well written that I thoroughly enjoy basically every line of dialogue. I mean,
Yeah.
it's great.
It's fantastic.
All right. So, having said all of those things about season one, let's move on to the main meal. No, main course. There we go. Main course. Season two, episode one, The Void. Penny, you want to take this recap?
Yeah. So, we open on Jen in her bed the morning after the party. Gizlord has just gone to the store to get pancake ingredients, and she is visibly joyful about the state of her new relationship. She dances around the apartment, and Gizlord, meanwhile, is at the store being shocked by the discovery of his wife. So, over the course of the episode, Jen also finds out about the wife, and she and Gizlord each keep that secret from each other because they don't want to ruin their new relationship. Also, with Gordon's generous help of donating his cum money, which was disturbingly in a crumpled up pile of cash, Jen is able to start out at the clinic and try to find her power. So she has her first session with her new coach or counselor or whatever George is. Meanwhile, Carrie and Cash are each coping with the breakup in very different ways. Carrie goes the edgy makeover, regrettable fringe, and deep cleaning of the apartment route, and Cash clings to the past. At the end of the episode, all four characters meet up at the Void. Carrie is there to dispose of all the detritus of her past. Cash tries to save the detritus of his past, and Jiz and Jen are both trying to throw away all the lost posters that Jizlord's real wife has set up. They have a bunch of really needed heart-to-heart talks and get everything out in the open. And later that night, Cash discovers he has a new power.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And we're back. All right, so since we have decided to do plot lines, I mean, let's start with the first one. I really enjoyed the opening musical number.
Oh, the dance number? Yeah,
Yeah,
so great.
it was and one of the things that I find really impressive, not just about this show, but well, no, actually, this show in particular, the girls aren't made up. Like, they
No.
look like they just rolled out of bed. And what's funny is that they are made up to make them look like they are just rolling out of bed. And I just find it super impressive. And I wouldn't even have necessarily thought about it, except that I was like, man, Jen kind of looks like ass. I was like, but
Yeah.
she's intentionally being made to look like ass because that's.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen enough pictures of these two women,
Oh, they're stunning.
on their Instagram,
Yeah.
and I know what they look like when they're done up, and they look amazing. And so they are definitely going for a very natural affect on the show, and I love it. I'm so there for it. I'm so tired of seeing women get out of bed with like a full face of makeup and perfect hair on TV
Or what's
shows.
even better is that, like, you can tell that it's intentionally made up to make it look like they're rolling out of bed.
Yeah.
Like this just looks natural. If I hadn't watched it two or three times, I wouldn't even have necessarily like registered it. But it
Yeah.
just yeah, like I said, the naturalist look is so well done to the point where you shouldn't or don't notice.
The opening dance number made me so happy. First of all, the song is Lizzo and it's called To Be Loved, and it has already made its way onto a playlist for me. And the way that Jen is so happy and it's just expressing itself in dance is great. But the real great moment is when she pokes her head in the kitchen and she sees how sad Carrie is about her recent breakup with Cash and everything. And Jen is just like, no, I'm gonna suck her into this joy I'm having. And it works really fast, right? She does the shoulder move, and then Carrie does the shoulder move, and then the two of them are dancing together. And the moment made me feel like their friendship is so lived in and real. Like Jen was like, oh, I know how to get Carrie to dance with me. I'll do the thing. And then Carrie's like, she's doing the thing. And then they're, you know,
it was all very unspoken, intimate bond. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's happened before. And it also explains so much about why Carrie is still friends with Jen after all these years, when we know that Jen is kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
Right. And that Carrie has her life together. It's because Jen keeps Carrie fun and young. Like without Jen, Carrie would just like end up working all the time and being a doormat, and you know, let her, she'd still be with Cash and she would still be supporting him financially, and she would, you know, she'd never have any fun.
Right. Yeah, I think Jen is a freeing presence for Carrie, although also a bit of a cage. but I really did enjoy that, like when Cash joins in, like yeah. Because that also very similar to what you were saying, this has happened before. Like this type of interaction has absolutely happened before.
Oh yeah, he looks at them and he's like, "Dance party time!" Yeah. Like he's so into it,
and he opens it up. And I very very specifically had like a flashback, and I can't remember what it was to, but it was very similar. Circumstances where it's, you know, one scene going on and then someone theatrically opens the curtains and presents themselves into the mix, and then the look of every, so the music's still going and all that, and so then the music stops and you know and I realize that it's not something that's been playing in the background or anything like that. This is all just in their heads. And
oh,
then
the music was playing in the background. When it stops, it doesn't stop. It becomes incredibly quiet. And you can tell that the music was like maybe in Jen's bedroom or something.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
In the background.
Okay. So like yeah. What I saw was and I was like, so this has all been going on. Like all the music and the beat has all just been going on in their heads. They're just that in sync. And this is, so that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I thought it was even funnier that it was really, really funny in the event that Cash is literally just dancing to no music because yeah. he was into the groove, and then now, oh, groove is broken. I did enjoy the line, that rings a bell. Oh my God, unring the bell, unring the bell.
Yeah. This scene also made me understand why Carrie was with Cash for so long, because he is freaking adorable. He's a good dancer. He has that same kind of infectious joy that Jen has, that Carrie really needs in her life. She just needs it to be from someone who, you know, has a job and stuff.
Well, also from, like, we say that about Jen, but I mean, she also needs for Jen to be a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think we established last season that neither Jen nor Cash deserve Carrie, but Jen's a little bit on the better side.
Yeah.
Closer to the milk.
Yeah, Cash is a mooch, and you know he's young and he'll eventually hopefully find his way to be not a mooch, but Carrie breaking up with him might be the best thing that's ever happened to him, because it might force him to grow up a little bit.
Right. But speaking of their breakup plot, so we, you know, hey, remember we broke up, and oh no. And then, so moving on towards that, we'll stay on the Carrie Cash breakup. So it is a new start for everybody, including Carrie and Cash. And so Carrie is literally just getting rid of all of the random projects and shit that, that Cash has in their bedroom, and, including these very worn out pair of drawers that like literally has a hole where you could poop out of, maybe, depending
yeah.
on how. And then he tries to show, well, see, this is why they're still good, because I can do this. I'm just like, oh, come on, man. Like I know that,
yeah.
I know he's clinging, and I know he's clinging to the past and he's trying to avoid it, but I was just like, bleh, come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, pants with a hole in it. And, you know, in the UK, pants means underpants. And I know that British people, when they're in the US and Americans refer to trousers as pants, they think we're hilarious because we're basically talking about underpants all the time.
It's funny.
And I love this idea that there's a void where you can just like throw stuff into it and it's gone forever. I used to, in high school, this is horrible from an environmental perspective, but when I had something that I wanted to like get rid of emotionally, my friends and I would go to this one particular bridge and throw things off the bridge into the ocean. Now I'm like, oh, we were just littering. That's just littering. But at the time, it was like an emotional catharsis kind of a thing. But a void is better. Although I don't know if anyone knows where stuff actually goes. Like, is it actually a void or does it go somewhere?
Well, is it a void or is it a power? I thought it was
I
the
think
guy who
it's
was
somebody's.
charging who was charging them to throw stuff in there. I thought that was
Yeah,
his
it's his
power.
power to create a void. But like, where does it
No,
go?
I agree. I no, that's an excellent question because you would not want to. I mean, it looked like what didn't something go in and get thrown back out? Didn't Cassius'
The pants. Yeah, the
underpants get
pants
thrown back
came back
out?
out. The void was like,
So it
no.
doesn't destroy them, it's just a void.
Right. Or is it like a portal to somewhere else? Are we
Right.
someday gonna see, like, oh, this is where all that void stuff went? Who knows?
Yeah, that would, I mean, that'd be a good callback. Or if someone falls into the void. I mean, I can't imagine that someone hasn't fallen to the void at some point or
Well,
another.
okay. There are no safety rails on those platforms. I was so nervous the whole time that they were
Yeah.
standing up there. I was like, oh my God, like one tiny false step and you're in the void, like back away from the edge.
Yeah.
Made me really, really nervous.
I mean, you can't, you have to imagine that somebody just like PDF guy, right? You have to imagine
Yeah.
that PDF guy has murdered multiple people.
Yeah.
And multiple people have fallen into the void in the middle of the night or getting drunk or
Or
whatever.
Void Guy was like, what happens if I do it to a person? Oops. You
Yeah,
know, like, who
my
knows?
bad. Yeah, I mean, like, could imagine how popular he would be with local gangs or people looking to dispose of
Yeah.
bodies. I mean,
Yeah, he says like no bodies, but it's like, I bet for the right price,
yeah,
you'd take a body.
no bodies, you know, because I've learned my lesson to tell people no bodies.
Yeah. And because the cops come by here every so often to make sure I don't have any people throwing bodies in here. Yeah.
Yeah. Although murder weapons, that'd be a good place for murder weapons if you were a
Yeah.
murdering kind of person. But anyway, so sticking with Cash and Carrie, they like Cash is absolutely just continuing to cling, right? He is just holding on to anything that could possibly maintain his previous way of life. And good for Carrie that she
Yeah.
is breaking away from that. I mean, it all quote unquote ends up fine in the end. Like he accepts it, or and that's what it seemed like the end of that was.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like what he used what was the line he used? It's not my this is my redemption arc because that was last season, but I'm in the middle of a I can't remember.
Oh, I don't remember.
I feel like this was our comeback story. I don't know, something like that. I don't remember the specific
Yeah.
line. Since we have ended up recording this a couple of a few days apart due to timing
With you.
issues, my memory is not nearly as sharp as it was. But yeah, so they end up they are in fact broken up and everybody has accepted it and everybody's happy. Okay, all right, that's the Carrie Cash storyline out of the
Well,
way, except for the Carrie storyline. The Carrie storyline kind of continues along with Jim.
yeah. I mean, she's got the classic breakup stuff going on, right? So she the first thing she wants to do is a makeover, and it's another beautiful friendship moment between Carrie and Jen when Carrie's like, I don't know, make me over. I don't know who I am. What should I do? And Jen's like, no, the whole point is you have to figure out who you want to be. And you know, sort of forces Carrie to take some ownership of it. And then the most amazing moment when they're like, who do we know who's actually absolutely crushed a breakup? And they choose Princess Diana. And I was just, even though it wasn't actually Princess Diana, I was like so happy to see her the same way they were. They were like, oh. And then Carrie's like, Your Highness, Royalty, Lady, Princess, I don't know what to call you, because nobody really does know what to call her anymore, because she's technically not a princess. They took the royals took that title away from her, but then all of England was like, no, she's always our princess. So I don't know. Anyway, and then when she's like, we're gonna go full tart, and Carrie gets so excited, full and then the outfit tart. The outfit they come up with, like, first of all, I don't think you should go for your makeover to a party store. You're not going to find a lot of options or quality in the clothing.
Very true.
But Carrie looked awesome in that leather dress outfit. And with her hair up like that, she looked hot. And I was like, yeah.
I mean,
Princess Diana did a good job.
Yeah, I felt it was a very Sandra Dee moment. Sandra Dee, right, from Greece?
Her name is not actually Sandra Dee. It's Sandy.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I think that, but
there's a song about there's a actress from the 50s named Sandra Dee, and who's like a goody two shoes. So there's a song in Greece where they talk about, look at me, I'm Sandra Dee, because they're making fun of Sandy.
Obviously, I am super familiar with Greece. So that's
you're going to have to be, because eventually Kate is going to discover it, and you're going to have to watch it a bunch of times and be really uncomfortable about how inappropriate it is for children.
I mean, given that I have Extraordinary on in the background with my now 5-year-old, Ryan turned 5 yesterday, so, and my 3-year-old girl, you know, this is fun stuff.
I think, though, Extraordinary is, the humor is very adult, but it's not, like, in-your-face adult. I feel like if a kid is in the room seeing it and not really paying close attention, they're not going to get, like, all the raunchiness and stuff.
Right.
Because it's more about verbally raunchy and not visually raunchy.
That's true. but yeah, no, I agree. Carrie looked fabulous. Maybe fabulous isn't the right word for those for that set of clothing, but man, it was.
She says, "I'm edgy now. If there's an edge out there, I'm on it, not over it, but right up there."
Well, and that's where she needs to be. That's where Carrie needs to be. Carrie is not a go over the edge type. Jen is a don't even look and just run full fledged. Oh, okay. I'm committed to this relationship. I am full bore.
Yeah.
And Carrie is a very
careful person.
Yeah. Which, again, she needs someone to help encourage her to the edge, not push her over it, not push her to it, but encourage her to go to it, because I think she's really going to be able to find some portions of herself that has been not covered up per se, but suppressed by the lack of opportunity. And I think that as she explores more opportunities, she's going to embark on an entire new version of herself, which was kind of...
Yeah.
Shown here, right, pictured here in her new edgy look.
It's all part of the sort of classic breakup behavior. You change your hair, you change your outfits, you do a deep clean, you get rid of all the stuff from the person you've broken up with, all the junk. It's very satisfying. I just did some of that myself, threw away some stuff, and I was like, oh god, he's gone.
Do a deep clean. Yeah. Yeah. That is not part of a guy's breakup. Guys break up, and this is from experience on my own and some of my friends, is basically replace everything that you have, like, oh, you have broken up with your girl. Okay, well, all you need is a new girl.
Yeah, just put her right in that same spot.
Yep, put her up on the shelf, and hey, I've got my girl, and you can do it's a person to do things with. It's not healthy. It's not the right way to go about it. But the classic girl breakup makeover is new clothes. Get rid of all the stuff. Just like Jen was saying, we clear out everything that is going to hold us back, and nothing is going to impede the new Jen. A guy is, what can I do? Just like Cash, what can I do to keep everything the same, even if it's not the same girl? But even if it's not, how can I disrupt my life the least? It leads to, I think both methods are not about healing. It's about trying to be happy in the moment.
It's symbolic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the healing is actually the hard part, and the work that you have to do in order to accomplish it is harrowing and horrific, but You do come out a better, stronger person on the other side if you are able to keep with it. Even if you do little bits at a time, you still have to go through that difficult yeah. portion of healing. But as I said, like cash is all about replacing. What can I do to maintain my life about the same? Even, oh, why do I have to move out? And then
I loved that moment because Carrie, you could tell she was about to be like, because you don't pay rent. Okay, let me rephrase
yeah.
that.
yeah. Well, and then she, the contract, and this is kind of ties into what I was saying about a guy's yeah. breakup. The contract, I believe it said 8 weeks. And
he has 8 weeks to move out.
Well, it was 8 weeks to move out, but it was no coitus. Within
for 6 weeks.
And he's like, 6 weeks. I mean, and that's kind of what I'm getting at is like that. Well, that isn't going to let me hide my pain. That isn't going to let me do like maintain my life the same. Not that they were having quit. I have sex with my white girlfriend at least, you know, once every 2 months. I'll be like, yeah. So I guess 6 weeks isn't that long for cash. But the idea of not being able to go find someone to replace Carrie.
To numb his pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, the contract was very Carrie-esque. I don't mean just the contract. I mean, it was focused on Carrie. It was.
I loved it.
As a woman, you very much should. Not just as a woman, but as a proponent of Carrie. I love the fact that she made it up.
Yeah.
Even though Cash was the asshole and he was the reason that she broke up with him, as a male and someone who has gone through breakups and who knows what you feel like you need in order to accomplish what you feel like you want, it was very not that. It was very anti-guy breakup. It was very pro-girl breakup.
Yeah, it was practical and organized and it was such a great use of Carrie's legal training.
Yep.
And I loved that once she got Cash at the table to negotiate, he fully engaged in the process. You could see his copy of the contract was all marked up and he was like negotiating. He's like holding his pen up like, I don't know. That's not going to work for me. And I feel like all breakups should have this moment where you sit down and in a civil manner, discuss the sort of rules of engagement going forward. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. It's like there's a running gag on Big Bang Theory where Sheldon has a relationship agreement with his girlfriend. And you're supposed to think that's kind of crazy. But there have been many times when I've been like, actually, like that's sitting down and agreeing on stuff yeah. and writing it up, like, I don't know. I think it's kind of a good idea. And maybe I should do that the next time I'm in a relationship.
I'm going to use an inappropriate joke.
Okay.
And as an example of, and then I'll get into why I say it. Penny, would you have sex with a stranger for $10?
No.
Would you have sex with a stranger for $100 million?
Yes.
Okay. So now... We have determined that you are a prostitute, but it's just a matter of negotiating the terms, right?
Right.
Okay. Again, obviously joking and all that, but if you get someone to the table, that means they have accepted what is happening, and that's
the
why
premise of
exactly
a contract. Yeah.
The premise of a contract. Hey, we're sitting down. Yes, we are definitely breaking up. We just have to come to the terms and. Accepting the breakup is what Cash had problems with. That was the whole, like, I thought it was an amazing use, not just of Carrie's legal capabilities, but her, hey, all I have to do is get him to the table and we know it's going to happen. And I thought it was a great, a big portion of it is people not accepting breakups and the idea that, hey, you know what? As long as you get to the point where you accept that it's happening and you just have to agree to terms, well, like that's when...
Yeah, that's half the battle.
Exactly, exactly. I thought it was actually a really well put together thing, even all symbolic and not necessarily... Maybe I'm just reading into it way too much. I don't know. But I thought it was good.
I loved it. I loved it so much that I'm definitely going to use it in the future. Although my most recent breakup happened as a text message, and there was no negotiating.
It's basically a contract, right?
All it said was fuck off.
Okay. Well, so that is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. So next one. All right.
Yeah.
Jen and her power journey.
Let
me just say that this is the second time that I have now seen in media recently the representation of a person's brain.
Oh, what was the first one?
The first one was Lock and Key on Netflix. Oh. And it was multiple people's brain. And in Lock and Key, the comic books, there were obviously comic renditions of it, and it was a little bit different. But this one, I liked the Lock and Key version, and I really liked this one as well.
Yeah, I also there's a show that I love that like nobody else I know seems to have ever watched called The 100, and they had inside somebody's brain. They had two different people's inside their brains, and one of them was like a very well organized library with books that were chronological and everything was really organized. The other person's inside their brain was like a bunch of drawings of their memories, and they were like less organized and more chaotic, but also sort of more alive and beautiful. And so when I saw Jen's bookstore, it was like a combination of those two. I was like, oh, it's a disorganized library. I love it.
Yeah, I thought that that all of the detritus that she was going to have to clear out in order to, like, I want to see other people's brains. I want to see Carrie's brain. I don't want to see Cash's brain. I do want to see Jizzlor's brain because I want to see all of the cat stuff.
And there's probably lots of big, like, blank areas where it's like, there's nothing in that spot.
Oh, like... what's this area? Well, and you know, actually thinking about it, and since I have held back and not watched any more of these episodes until we recorded this, I imagine that's going to come, like that
maybe
the therapist or the facilitator, Jen's going to be like, hey, like, can you help my friend access his lost memories?
Maybe
it would be a good use of this guy's talents. I really like this actor. I liked his presentation. Even though he was, I'm assuming doctor, I'd like to fuck a DILF.
DILF generally refers to like dad. It's the accompaniment to MILF.
Right.
It generally refers to, excuse me, hiccups. It generally refers to any just older man who's good looking, I guess.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's the same way, like, it's like zaddy or daddy doesn't necessarily mean someone who even is a father.
Gotcha.
Right. It's just like an older man.
Gotcha.
I don't like to use daddy in a sexual way. I think it's creepy, but there are people out there.
Throws me back to Couples Retreat and, oh, daddy. Faison Love's character was so funny. Anyway, moving on. I do recommend Couples Retreat if you haven't watched it. It is Vince Vaughn, John Favreau, Kristen Bell conglomeration of I find fun stuff.
I saw it, but I don't remember it very well.
All right. So, yeah. So the library, I thought, was phenomenal. Some of the things that she saw in there, you know, weird things you've masturbated to, good dogs.
I have a list.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I did a lot of pausing and writing down everything in the bookstore. So I'm going to go through it. So first of all, there's posters on the wall. There's one that has like the radioactive symbol and it says toxic. There's a bunch of posters that say neozine. I don't know what that is. There's a poster that says powers aren't real. We see that later in another location in the show, like in the city somewhere real. There's old food, cigarette butts, a dirty ashtray. The books are disorganized. They're piled up everywhere. Things are falling off the shelves. At one point, a whole bunch of books just like fly in from the ceiling and fall on the floor. There's an image that we see several times of two blue faces really close together wearing glasses. No idea what that means. some of the bookstore sections, and they're all like handwritten signs in different fonts and different colors. There's no uniformity to them. Men I have ghosted, pointless lyrics, 100 worst hangovers, bad sex, pranks to try on cash, animals I could fight, dicks, bad alcohol, one night stands, favorite moments with Carrie, another bad sex poster or section, scatological humor, alcohol is not a drug, ways to get famous, and then a little sign underneath it that says, quick. There's a book called Boys I Have Ghosted, and Jennifer Regan is listed as the author, but not all of the books have Jennifer listed as the author, which is really fun, because the one right next to them is International Relations by Trygve Mathsson. Another book is called Times Carrie Cleaned My Room, and this is by Doris Lessing, who's like an award-winning fiction author. And it says an updated translation and a Regan classic. And there's this old-fashioned picture of a little girl holding a bunch of cleaning supplies on it. There's a sign called Mental Math, and it's covered in cobwebs. Another book by Jen Regan is called Weird Things You've Thought About While Masturbating. And this is my favorite part, volume 13. There's a section called Medical Romance, and right next to it is a book called Bad Dates by Jennifer Regan. And on the cover, it says, Jen's dating life is a disaster, but she's determined to find love, even if it means kissing a few. And then I couldn't read the rest. I'm going to guess toads. The medical romance thing, it reminded me of how she got turned on at the dentist in season one and started playing the porn music. Yep. There's a sign that says good dogs and a woof woof. And then next to that, there's some more books and another Doris Lessing book that says Times Carrie Has Saved the Day. There's another book that says Bad Dates by Jennifer Regan, another copy of it. A book called Chippies That Give Me Free Chips by Jennifer. So I guess that's like, I don't know, women that like her are at chips stands. Another one called Kebab Shops in East London by Jennifer Regan. Fake names for clubbing, another bad sex section. There's this circular window made of books that she looks through, and you can see some of the titles to make out. And there's another Walk in the Dark at Ages by Frank Delaney, a touring guide to Scotland. What color is your parachute? One book is called Your Life in Your Hands, a Joseph Heller book I couldn't see the title of, but I'm guessing Catch 22. A book called My Life of Absurdity. There's a book about the British television show Absolutely Fabulous, which if you haven't watched it, you should, because it is fabulous.
It is good.
And when she looks through the window, there's a bunch of books in a shape that kind of looked like the face of a man with dark hair. The books were turned backwards, so you couldn't see the titles. You could just see the
that was weird.
Like page side of the book, so that it made a picture instead of with words. There's a neon sign that says Powers, and Jen very excitedly opens that door and goes into that room, and it's like a grubby, abandoned, like tiled space that's like got dripping water and like moss and stuff growing and concrete floor. And there's this like sad half-mast 18th birthday Mylar balloon in there. Jen's bookstore was just like so dense with interesting stuff in the background. I really wanted to spend more time in there. I hope we get to go back.
Yeah.
I wonder if all those lamps that she manifested are still there. Like, is that like a permanent new part of the Jen Brain bookstore? I don't know.
I did think that his response, the doctor's response to all of the lights lighting up, all the lamps lighting up and appearing. He's like, let's set some realistic expectations. Like, everything's going to be different.
Yeah. She's all excited and happy. And, and he's like, oh, here we go.
Well, I'm sure this has happened to him numerous times in helping people on their power journeys. But so, like, I can't wait to go back to this doctor. Like, that's all that we saw of the doctor. Everything after that was... was her everything with regard to Jen after that was regarding her and Jizzlord, outside of her just kind of making a new life and clearing out with the old and all that. Do you have any other stuff on Jen's power journey?
No, I don't think so. Oh, well, it's just a note, but she is so excited, right? She gets involved in the deep cleaning, even though we know Jen's natural state is not to be, you know, a deep cleaner, but she's into it. She's like throwing away junk food and all this other stuff. And she says at one point, self-improvement is a piece of piss, which I looked up and it's an expression in Commonwealth countries, Britain, New Zealand, Australia, that means something easy to achieve, which is hilarious because it is definitely not easy to achieve.
Right. Yeah, like with taking surface actions are absolutely easy. It's the it's clearing all that mental crap that that is going to be the death of her. Maybe not death, but the more difficult aspect to it. All right. So then we move on to the main crux of this episode, which is the Jin Jizz Lord relationship slash shattering thereof or not. So as a brief, I know we covered the summary, but so we pick up at the beginning of the episode, right at the I don't know, ages after Jizz Lord has left for the market. And maybe we mentioned it before, but I was a little bit disappointed that the little boy didn't look very similar to Jizz Lord. They didn't get the same actor and actress back to recover. So Jizz Lord sees his wife, who hey, his name is Rob. Okay, his name is Rob. Got it. And he disappears, and then he's got all of this tension. Oh, he's got a secret family. Yeah. I don't have a secret family. Oh, stop eavesdropping on us. And so then as Jin is going through her self-improvement journey, he is just internalizing all of this, your past, you can't escape it. Just clings to you like dust. It's just
As he's like scratching the sofa like a cat.
and Jin's like, hey, Jizz, you're scratching. He's like, oh, my fault. And so later on, when Jin is very high and happy and all that, a random woman comes into the shop and asks to put up a poster. Oh, sure, no problem. Let me help you with that.
I'm good now.
Oh no, it is Jizz, or Rob. So we
It's devastating.
horrible. And so she doesn't say anything to the wife. And so then we both Jin and Jizz spend the rest of the episode tearing down hiding all of these papers of lost person or lost husband, like the lost cat posters that you will see. Even to the point of on their actual date where they go to the boop place, Little Italy, is that what they call it? Little Italy,
Yeah, Little Italy.
where you get booped and then you have the one, you have the leftovers of the one piece of pasta, and then they try to Lady and the Tramp it and just like
It's so
choking.
gross.
I mean, as a person who has watched some erotic items in my life. Watching him try to choke down this giant piece of pasta was pretty comical. Oh, we should Lady and the Tramp it. And I mean, I found it funny, but maybe other people would not.
I thought the moment afterward was even funnier when she was like, I'm still hungry, because of course they only ate like three pieces of pasta when they became full size again. That's not dinner. And he's like, oh, eat the leftovers. And they open the plastic and it's this one little teeny tiny piece of spaghetto. And I just lost it at that moment. I was like, oh my God. Did they choose that restaurant because it was like weirdly cheap and they didn't realize when they got there that they were going to be eating like the equivalent of like 2 cents worth of food?
So yes, I think absolutely. I think that Jen just found a restaurant. And she was like, oh, this one, the pictures look nice or whatever. They were all in miniature. But yeah, I think that was the intent. Because she was like, it's supposed to be right here. Oh, hey, it's right here. How do we get in? Oh,
A
I boop you. Oh, he needs booped too. I did think it was an interesting power, and I think that the like you said, the logistics of it might be a little bit weird. Like, where do they actually cook stuff? Whatever.
Yeah.
But
Is there like a full-size kitchen where they cook the food and then they like give it to teeny tiny wait staff? Like, or do they cook the big food in a tiny? I don't know. I kind of want to know more. I love miniature things too. I'm a sucker for like dollhouses and like train sets and anytime there's like a miniature model of the real world. So it just made me happy.
no, I mean, it was entertaining. But then, so after this, now, as I said, everybody, they both go on their own individual journeys to go collect as many of the lost husband posters as possible. And then the other thing that I will add to that is that Jiz does tell Cash, which I think. And
Yeah.
I get that Cash is the person who, the only other person that just knows besides Carrie. But Cash is the worst. Cash is
Yeah.
a horrible person to share secrets with, or sh secrets with. And
Cash's biggest piece of advice to Jiz is, hey, don't let your brain push you around like that. I used to be anxious, and now when I think about having a thought, I just don't. It's like, but Cash does say you're screwed, and it is true. But yeah, I mean, who else is just gonna go to for advice? He doesn't know anyone
he doesn't
else.
have any other options, which is, kind of crappy, but but so then they end up meeting at the void, and the ideology that, oh, we were lying to each other in order because we wanted to save our relationship. I can see where someone might go, oh, well, hey, the lying was just n a necessity in order to make this last longer. But I mean, obviously, it means it's not great. And the fact
Yeah.
that Jiz kind of does hit what his thing, where he points out, he states something in a very obvious manner. Kind of like, oh, well, then we'll just go do that thing you don't want to go do instead of do this thing that you don't want to go do. Oh, instead of steal this cat or steal this dog at a funeral, we'll go do that thing you don't want to do. Or you like her, she likes you. Maybe I don't understand what simple is. Why can't you be friends? And he's like, wait, isn't it bad that we is lying good that we I don't understand. And she's like, well, I mean, it's not good, but it's not, it means that we
Yeah.
care about each other. So
They all meet up at the void, right? And come clean. Yeah, and they come clean. And he is confused. And I think that there is something to discuss there, like lying isn't always bad or good. Like it's very situational, and in a relationship, ideally, you're not lying to your partner. But the fact that they were both doing it out of a desire to preserve the relationship makes it much more forgivable than lying for some other reason, right?
sure.
Like I like to contrast it to Cash keeping Carrie in what he called like a time prison or something, where he was constantly lying to her to preserve the relationship, but in a way that really disempowered her
Right.
and took advantage of her. And that was kind of unforgivable, in my opinion. Oh God, the hiccups. Using his power against her like that was really underhanded and crappy.
Right.
Whereas like tearing down posters and throwing them in the void or in the food processor, doesn't seem,
That was so funny.
it's not on the same level of a betrayal, in my opinion.
No, I mean, like,
Yeah.
Jen's not wrong. The fact that their instinct was to go against that, but it also just means avoiding things and
Yeah. It's a
avoidance.
problem for both of them. The fact that they were both doing it means that at least they're on the same page, but they're on the wrong page.
Right. And so the last thing that we see is them shocking his wife with a visit, and they're like, hey, we're gonna go do this together. And you sure there's anything you want to tell me? And like, nope. And then the son comes and jumps into his
daddy. Oh wait,
there was one thing. There was one more thing. And I thought that was really funny. it's like on, you know, you meet up on a Tinder date or whatever, and then I just want to go over to this place. Oh, I did forget to tell you, I also have a child.
Yeah, that's a trope in a lot of TV shows where it's like, oh, that noise you hear from the other room is my baby. Like, oh, thanks for telling me. yeah. There are a bunch of other stuff in the background when they're like going about their lives and during all of this back and forth with Jen and Jiz. And some of them are really interesting to me. There's a poster we see a couple of times of like a ski mask face and a sign that says no face, no case. And there's the A in face is an anarchy symbol. So that's going to come up again, cause we saw it several times. And, there are posters, that are up like near where the Jizz Lord, like lost husband posters are that say, don't fly insane. Invisible thieves will not be tolerated, and no firepower inside the shop. There's graffiti on the wall that says, I want to be your dog. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, that's odd.
And there's a sticker above the doorbell outside Jen and Carrie's apartment that says, people never realize that they are being brainwashed by the government and the media until it's too late. And another powers are not real poster. So there's something in the background happening that I hope we're going to get to this season, because it's really fascinating to me.
It feels like
brainwashing, yeah. Powers aren't real. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, like I don't know if it will end up being like, oh, this was all a dream or whatever. But there have definitely been clues to something bigger going on. I don't know if there's an actual like resistance or is whatever, you know, but I, as much as I would hate it, I could see that this is all, you know, Jin's in a coma and, you know, manifesting her self-hatred or self-loathing.
God, I hope that's not what it is.
Me too. I hope not too. I hope this is, you know, this is the story that we're getting, because it seems like a very depressing finale to be a great show. All right, I don't have anything else. Did you have any extra notes?
I have a couple of small things. Okay. So first of all, I thought it was hilarious when Carrie asked Jen if Nora is pretty, and Jen says pretty like toothbrush ad pretty. And I was like, yeah, that is a very specific type of pretty that's like super wholesome and clean faced, right. You know, like ivory girl pretty. And the reward that Nora is offering is a 20-pound Oliver Bonus gift card. So I looked up Oliver Bonus, and it's a store that sells like, it's kind of like H&M. It sells like fast fashion and, you know, home goods and stuff, but it's kind of pricey, and a 20-pound gift card is not going to buy you much. And the final thing is that I didn't think Carrie's bangs looked that bad. They were really mean to her about it. Yeah, they're like, oh God, that's horrible.
I didn't think they were that. I don't know why I don't like looking at you anymore.
Yeah, like they weren't that bad.
I mean, like they I've seen much worse Fringe. I've seen much worse Fringe. But yeah, I didn't think they were that bad. And I thought that the prices were actually really, really reasonable to have your hair fixed post.
Yeah, seriously. I would go to that place all the time. Yeah. I'd be like, just longer. I want more hair. Yeah.
just maybe a little bit thicker. Yeah, hey, thicken it up every couple of weeks as opposed to growing it out or whatever. All right. Yeah. Any other notes?
No. All that's right. Everything.
All right. So we're gonna go ahead and move into some news. So we like this show, and I think Penny, you have the list, but they were up for quite a few BAFTAs.
Yeah. Most notably, Best Comedy Series, and both Jen and Carrie, Mairéad Tyers and Sophia Oxenham, were nominated for Best Actress for BAFTA for TV shows. So I am pretty excited about it, because I think that it that kind of attention and validation from the industry means that the show will get better marketing, more attention, maybe a third season. Like, I think that's a really good thing. And I'm excited for the actors. I sent them all, you know, congratulatory notes on their Instagrams. I'm sure they got tons of those and they didn't notice me, but I was excited for them.
No, yeah, me too. I saw it on, yeah, I saw on Instagram. I saw Mary Tyers, her post, and then Bilal Hazna and Sophie Oxenham both responded. And yeah, it was like, I'm really, really happy for them, because they, like, I think that this show is way underappreciated even at this point.
Yeah. Sophia Oxenham posted a really cute picture of her FaceTime with Mairead Tyers. And you know how it's like picture in picture and you can see both of their faces and they're both like crying and verklempt and like, it was so cute. It's like, they just like couldn't believe that it was happening. I mean, they're young actors. They probably haven't ever gotten any kind of recognition like this before. This is amazing.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Juno Temple and, or rather Rebecca and from Ted Lasso
Keely.
Just crying towards each other with happiness. All right. So I guess we'll move on to listener feedback. So start with Steve Barr. So glad you're recovering for the season as well. Great start to the season. I loved Jen's mind rendered as a chaotic used bookstore. Not sure about Cash still being around. I agree with both of those things.
I love Cash. I don't want him to leave the show. I just don't want him to be Carrie's boyfriend.
I don't want him in the house anymore. Like I can't wait for this move out period to be done.
Oh, but at the end, I think they decided he wasn't going to move out. I don't know. Maybe he'll move in with his his vigilante friends, like the guy who has a rich dad.
Yeah,
he could live with him.
Yeah, that guy was super irritating. Like, I don't know,
the fish guy.
Yeah.
No, he'll probably move in with the guy, the 3D printer butt guy.
Jeez, that guy's even worse. That's not worse. No, he's just bad.
PDF guy is the worst.
Oh, that's
he's
very
the
true.
Worst one.
Very true.
He's so scary.
All right, you want to take Jill's?
Yeah, Jill says, Jillian Moreau says, oh, yay, I didn't realize it was back. Can't wait to watch and listen along with you guys. This is such a fun show. We're happy to have you, Jill.
Yeah, I'm glad we're able to let you know about it again. And I believe it is Tiffin Tybalt, and I feel like we got feedback on how to say your name, and I can't, go ahead.
I think it's Tiffin Tebow.
Tiffin Tebow. Okay. Sounds good. I just watched it, and it's exactly what I needed. It made me chuckle right at the start with the writing on the wall and the Cash comment on if it's legal. That was, I forgot about that, that it was a really funny, oh, he's a man that turns into a cat, not a cat, he's a man. It's not the same, right? Right.
Right.
And Gary's
it is kind of awkward.
I thought the representation of Jen's mind was so good. It got me thinking about what the titles of the books in my mind would be. Yep. Loved The Void in Walthamstow, which is 12 kilometers from where I live in North London. The empty beer bottles and wine glasses all lined up on one side of the stairs so people can go down the stairs after the party. So British. Lady Di advising breakup makeover. Hilarious. And I like that people use their powers for everyday life struggles. I would love to have a fix hair. I'm assuming that the phrase fix hair is a term that is well used. Also, it looks like Jizz used to live in a much nicer part of East in London, not far, as they go to the same local shop, living a more classic life with a serious job and a family. And the soundtrack is still awesome. And she actually included a link to all the tracks in season 2, which is great to see.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. That's awesome.
I will say that the serious job and a family, like his memory of it, which was
sadness and then money.
Yes, sadness plus money. So maybe you went to a job, a child prison school. Yes,
yeah.
his description makes it maybe seem like he wasn't super happy in his life. Even though like his child was probably in the 3 to 5 range, because
my boy looked like a really cute kid who loved his dad, and Nora seems nice.
Yeah,
and she is toothpaste ad pretty.
Yeah, I mean,
or toothbrush ad pretty.
But thank you guys very much for the feedback. I'm sorry about the lateness of the podcast. My own young children have led to some difficulties in figuring out timing. So with that, again, I appreciate your patience. And that's our show. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, leave some feedback or whatever, find out more about Podcastica and the other shows we do, you can find all of that information at podcastica.com.
You can write in or record a voice message right there on podcastica.com, or find links to our social media pages and other shows. I mean, I know that I've really been enjoying The Ones Who Live here recently, and Jason and Lucy's coverage. I forgot how much I missed Rick and Michonne. So that's pretty good.
That's right. That's on the cast of Us. And as some of you probably know, I have another podcast called Still Slaying, a Buffyverse podcast, where we are rewatching all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And we are right now in the middle of season 3, and it's been super fun. We take a break every half season and to cover a movie, and we just covered Heathers. That will be out in a day or two, and we had a great time doing it. So please join us on Still Slaying if you are a Buffy fan at all. It's been really, really fun, and we are finding that the show is extremely relevant to today and to societal issues that are still going on. And so we have a pretty lively discussion, and we'd love to have more people join us.
Nice. I'm just, this isn't a show, but another podcast that is, has been great, that Penny and I have both had the opportunity to be a part of is, Welcome to the Apocalypse.
Oh my God. I love it so much.
An improv podcast. It is so much fun to not only be a part of, but it's hysterical to listen to. If you haven't checked it out, it is, Randy does an amazing, Randy and I can't remember,
Jen and Rob
are the runners of the show, and it is phenomenal. It is so much fun to listen to.
It's great, and it's short. The episodes are like 30 minutes, and I had this week's episode, I had like a full belly laugh. There was a there was a gag about some Boston stuff, and it really hit me where I live, and I loved it. It was so great.
Nice.
All right. If you like what we're doing, please hit like, hit follow, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, maybe drop a review, all of those things. It helps other listeners find us, and it also helps Greg and me, you know, feel good about ourselves.
Yeah, I like feeling good about myself. Next time on this show, we'll be covering season 2, episode 2. Hello, stranger. Oh, man, I can't wait to go watch it. I'm probably going to go
watch it very
soon. I know,
I've been dying to watch it. Me too.
And just remember, good boys get the brush.
Good boys get the brush.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free? TurboTax Free Edition. Roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.